ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अहं हरिथावपताय कमूला दासानुदासो भवितास्मि भूया मनास्मरथासि पथे गुणंस्थे कृणीतवाकर्म करोतु काय
ओ माय लॉर्ड ओ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड विल आई अगेन बी एबल टू बी ए सर्वेंट ऑफ योर इटर्नल सर्वेंट्स हु फाइंड शेल्टर ओनली एट योर लोटस फीट ओ लॉर्ड ऑफ माय लाइफ May I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engaged in the loving service of your lordship. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional service. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Das Das Anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis, Gopi Bharatu Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, entitled The Transcendental Qualities of Vritrasura, Text 24. Vritrasura knows that he is about to die. He understands that this is his destiny. But unlike so many others in this world, he is jubilant. He is looking forward to what is about to come. Why? Because for a great devotee who realizes the eternality of the soul, such a devotee knows his or her constitutional position. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. That we are eternal servants of the Lord. that service to the Lord is transcendental or beyond all of the dualities of this world. Pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, success, failure, victory, defeat, even birth and death, or let us say life and death. Because all of these attributes only pertain to the body and the mind. Vasamsijunaniyatabihaya, which are like a set of clothes that are temporarily covering the true self, the soul. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so simply explained the very essence of spiritual life in this one line, that the nature of the soul is to serve God. And there are vast literatures in all languages that are given by the Lord to teach us how to serve the Lord, how to achieve that state of service to the Lord, and what takes place after we achieve that state in the spiritual world, as well as in this world. Actually, the spiritual world is not something we attain after death. The spiritual world is something we attain in life. If we can attain it in life, then naturally at the time of death we are transported there. But if we do not attain it during our life, then we have to keep coming back until we sincerely decide to do so. In the Bible it is said, the kingdom of God is within. Unless we find it within ourselves, we will not find it high in the sky. We will not even find it in a holy place of pilgrimage. The holy places of pilgrimage are so important because they give us inspiration, and most of all, they give opportunities to associate with holy people. And in that sanctified place, in the association of holy people, we become blessed with a greater opportunity to make the choice of serving the Lord. But we have to make that choice. Saintly people cannot make it for you. Holy places cannot make it for you. Even the Supreme Lord, the controller of all controllers, will never make that choice for you. The Lord provides us opportunity through His mercy. And in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, how do we achieve that mercy? Dhritarasura is giving his realization in this particular verse, how to achieve the mercy of the Lord. It's not by being great in the eyes of the world. It's not by being a great scholar either. It's not by performance of tapasya or tremendous austerities. It's not by accumulating masses of wealth or attracting masses of followers. How do we really achieve the mercy of the Lord? Dhritarasura explains, das, das, anudas, by being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. because love means to serve. Krishna only wants one thing, love. Ultimately, that is all anybody really wants. But due to our endless distractions, due to the false ego and the influence of other people's egos, we have so many demands, so many concerns that we feel are so important. But in the end, the only thing that could satisfy anyone's heart is love. And without that, everything else you have, you will remain empty within. Because it is the soul's nature to love. And love is of giving, never of taking. To love means to serve. Why does a devotee want to always think of Krishna? Krishna tells in Gita, man mana bhava bhat bhakto, always think of me. Always be absorbed in remembering me. In fact, the two Vedic instructions by which all others are only supportive to is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Why? Why does Krishna want us to always remember him? It is not for his benefit, because he is Atmaram, he is perfectly self-satisfied. It is for our benefit. Because remembrance is a necessary expression of love internally. Even in this world, we find that if someone wants to be loved by you, they want you to remember them. Yes? And the more you remember them, the more they believe that you actually love them. Sometimes when a person goes abroad, the object of their love, they live simply by knowing that you're remembering them. On a person's birthday, most people really don't care anything about gifts, especially parents. Parents don't need the gifts of their children, because usually the children steal the money from the parents anyway, in one way or another. It's simply that he or she remembered me, that's all. They remembered me enough to go through all that trouble. And if you do something amazing, that means you really put a lot of effort. And through that effort, you must be remembering why you're doing it. Yes? So it is a fact that the heart feels the satisfaction of being loved when there is some knowledge. It may come through a gesture, or it may come through your own intuition, that that person is remembering me. If somebody has their secretary just automatically on a particular date write you a check for 1 crore of rupees, you may like the money, but there's no internal satisfaction. It's not the thing. It's the expression. First, the secretary has in their computer, this is the date of this person's birthday, so write them this check. Love has nothing to do with that. Love is remembrance. Isn't that the way it is in the world? its origin is in Krishna. Because love is something that consumes the consciousness. And what consumes the consciousness is what we will remember. Antakale chamameva. Krishna says, if you remember me at the time of death, you will come to me. But the only way you could remember Krishna at the time of death is if you're remembering him throughout your life. That's all that's required, is just to remember Krishna. But we can only remember Krishna by the mercy of Krishna. It's not something that can be done superficially or artificially. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our own beloved Gurudev Srila Prabhupada, they warned us against artificially trying to meditate and remember on the intimate esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We may be remembering, but the question is that remembrance pleasing to the Lord? In the beginning stages, we try to remember Krishna because Krishna is all pure and we become purified by that remembrance. But when we become more serious, we remember Krishna simply because our remembrance pleases Krishna, because it's an offering of our love, which is all he wants. And our remembrance of Krishna should be in a way that Krishna is satisfied. We could remember Krishna every moment for the next 10 million births and still remain in this world. Unless Krishna is pleased with us. It is not a mechanical process. Krishna has to be pleased by the way we're trying to remember him. At the very beginning stages, anyway, you remember Krishna, you're making some contact. But if you want to go beyond that, you have to please Krishna. And to the degree Krishna is pleased, to that degree we receive Krishna's mercy. Therefore, the great acharyas, they teach us that if you want to please Krishna, remember him by chanting his holy names. Remembering him by remembering his teachings. Remembering him by remembering his beautiful form and his wonderful pastimes, according to how we're taught to remember. But through it all, what is going to make it all real and substantial is when we reach out for the mercy through the process of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Without a deep, genuine, humble service attitude, all our other devotional principles are superficial because they don't really mean that much to Krishna. We may think that we're great, but that's a problem. Because as soon as you think you're great, you're seen as something very insignificant by Krishna. If you see yourself as small, with a proper attitude of servitude, Krishna sees you so great that he even willingly is conquered by your sincerity. Krishna loves to be conquered by the devotion of his devotee. What we find in all cases throughout the scriptures, the same quality that conquers Krishna. No false ego. And one of the greatest pitfalls for a devotee is to think that they're a great devotee because of some accomplishments or because of some attributes, or because they're remembering Krishna in very esoteric ways and telling other people about Krishna in esoteric ways. That may be nice, but if you think you're great because you're doing it, you're neutralizing the greatness of what you're doing. Because to be the servant of the servant is not just what you do, which is necessary. It's that you feel to be the servant of the servant. That you know and gradually realize that I am the servant of the servant. To the degree we feel humbled in the presence of others, to that degree we can understand we're not great. We can understand we're getting the mercy of Krishna. We're coming closer to the great. One who really doesn't know Krishna can think that they're great. But as we know Krishna, we simply understand that I'm coming closer to the great. I'm under the shelter of the great. And that is our joy. If we take joy in our own greatness, it will be washed away by the waves of time. If we take shelter of Krishna's greatness, it is like diving into an unlimited ocean of spiritual joy. So Srila Prabhupada begins his purport. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional service. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Das, das, anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. This is the first thing. But first does not simply mean chronological. It's the first thing must be established for all of our other devotional activities to have substance. It's like the foundation. We could learn scripture. We can develop so many devotional arts and skills. It's like building up our bhakti through our activities, through our words, through our thoughts. But the foundation, which is the first thing that's built in a building, has to be strong. And it's not that after you build the foundation, then as you're building the rest of the building, you remove the foundation. If you're building your devotional life up, 5 stories, 10 stories, 20 stories, 108 stories. At any stage, if the foundation is removed, what happens? Whether it's a 1-story building or a 108-story building or a 16,108-story building. At any stage, if the foundation is removed, the whole building collapses. So this spirit of being the servant of the servant of the servant, it is eternal. It is our eternal nature. The problem is sometimes when the building gets so high, way up there, when you think you're way up there, you don't really see the foundation. So you neglect it. Therefore, we must hear regularly from Dhritarasura. Nasta praesha padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. We must hear the Bhagavatam every day to remind us that we're always the servant of the servant of the servant. This is one of the greatest dangers. As we're making spiritual advancement, people may want to come to serve us. People may recognize us when we first come on the path of bhakti. Usually we don't know so much, so it's easy to serve people who know more. But what happens when we think we know more? And we're around for 40 or 50 years. Hare Krishna. And we've learned so much of how to do, what to do, where to do, who to do it to, and everything else. So we start thinking we're advanced. And that beginning stages where we just did menial service is so far away from us when we're way up there. That is the greatest reasons why advanced devotees who go high in the path of bhakti fall. Because they fail to take care of the foundation. The base. Prabhupada really stressed the basics. Follow these four regulative principles, chant the holy names according to one's prescribed vows, and always be the servant of the servant of the servant. This is first. Prabhupada declares it very clearly here. This is the first thing, to be in a service attitude. It's the first thing, and it's the last thing, and it has to continue always because it is foundation. And factually, the higher you go in devotional service, if ever the foundation becomes weak, there's a long way down to fall. If you're only on the first floor or second floor and you forget the foundation, you fall. But it doesn't hurt so much. But if you're on the 108th floor, it hurts a lot. And it may hurt a lot of other people too. Everybody around you is going to be hurt if it comes down from that high. The higher you are, the more people you're going to affect when you... So not only does it behoove us for our own spiritual sanctity, but for everybody around us, that we must always be cultivating a strong foundation. Service attitude. Unfortunately, sometimes devotees see the externals with too much significance. Certainly any external endeavors by a devotee should be appreciated. But we must understand that it's the service attitude that attracts the mercy of Krishna. Servant of the servant of the servant. The basics. That must always remain prominent in whatever else we're doing. If we think we're better than others, then how can we be a servant of the servant of the servant? It's superficial. Still, we should do it. But our prayer should be that I actually feel it. I actually know it. That is how we gain the mercy of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains herein that Lord Chaitanya... He advised us of this principle and also showed by his own example that a living entity should always desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of gopis. Lord Chaitanya is God. Lord Krishna, who appears in the role of his own devotee to teach us by his words and example. And how prominently the Lord taught by his example. When he was living in Navadvip, he was the greatest of all scholars. At that time in Navadvip, which was the high seat of learning for all of India, the heroes were the scholars. People who really understood the scriptures and who could argue and debate and defeat others. There is this competitive spirit in human beings that makes people heroic. Yes? Today the heroes are the athletes who are very expert at defeating others in their competitive sports. In India you have your cricket heroes. When they win, everybody has garlands for them. When they lose, people throw shoes on them. Yes, very strange country from. I'll never understand you people like this. The man's out there trying just as hard when he wins, and he's trying just as hard when he loses, and you hate him and condemn him and threaten his life and burn his house down when he loses, and you give him your hearts when he wins. Hare Krishna. And heroes are politicians. They also are very competitive. They win the elections. And they win so many other things too, perhaps. And entertainers, whether it is music, or whether it is television or cinema, they're heroes because they've succeeded and excelled others in their arts. But in Navadvip, nobody cared about sports or drama or entertainment. To them, the hero was the scholar. And Lord Chaitanya was the greatest hero of Navadvip. It is said that what would take students 12 years to learn Sanskrit grammar from any other teacher, they could get the same knowledge, realization, and certificate from Nimai Pandit after 6 months. He was a good teacher. One day after teaching his students, he was walking along the bank of Ganga when he met a great devotee whose name was Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri was so humble. When his own spiritual master was in his last stages of life in this world, Madhavendrapuri, Ishwarapuri accepted the humblest role of a menial servant. Like a nurse, he just sat at his guru's bedside and read to him about Krishna, chanted to him about Krishna. He massaged his guru. He lifted his guru. His guru was so bedridden that Ishwarapuri, with his own hands, would clean the excrement from his guru's body. Very humble service. And he did it with such feeling and devotion. He just wanted to please. There's no high or low. There's only the spirit to please. Because he performed such a menial servant for a long time, his spiritual master, was he felt so pleased. He gave him the ultimate blessing. As Srila Prabhupada says here, it is this mood of servant of the servant of the servant that attracts the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Guru. Madhavendra Puri said, "My child, may you attain the perfection of love for Krishna." Can you believe Krishnananda Prabhu's cell phone is going off in class? Of all people? Amazing, amazing. You've come a long way, Krishnananda Prabhu. It's the law of the Brahmachari ashram now. You should learn that new law. Huh? Tell him the law, Govinda Prabhu. I know. Mahaprasad. This Kali Yuga, there are all sorts of Mahaprasad. So Lord Chaitanya, or Ishwarapuri, he attained the highest position and was the most respected amongst the Vaishnavas because of his humble menial service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach the world that of all the great souls within the world, Lord Chaitanya wanted to take initiation from this person, who expressed through his body, mind, and words, and his very soul, that spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. So on that day when Lord Chaitanya was walking with his students, he happened to see Ishwarapuri. And the Lord offered his prostrated obeisances. Ishwarapuri was so happy to see him. Immediately upon seeing the Lord, who was disguising the reality that he was the Lord from the world, he felt great bliss. It was as if he was seeing Krishna. And he asked, "What is your name?" And one of the students said, "His name is Nimai Pandit." And Ishwarapuri said, "Oh, this is Nimai. I have heard so much about him." And Nimai, with so much desire to serve, he invited Ishwarapuri, "Please come to my home for prasad this evening." Lord Chaitanya escorted him to his home. Sachimata, the mother of the Lord, prepared a wonderful feast of prasad, offered it to the deities of Krishna, and then came out, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally served the Vaishnavas. And after serving Ishwarapuri prasad to his full satisfaction, Lord Chaitanya sat at his feet to hear about Krishna from him. All night long, Ishwarapuri told them about Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, seeing the love in which he was speaking, was so deeply moved. Ishwarapuri stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya. And there was one devotee who became his favorite, the most humble servant of the servants, Gadadhar Pandit. It is described in this particular context. He was so detached from anything. He was so humble. All he wanted to do was serve, and all he wanted to do was be absorbed in Krishna. Amazing. The special, special quality of Gadadhar Pandit is his immense mild manner and humility and his incredible absorption in Krishna and being detached from anything else. And he was directly Srimati Radharani who was showing us how to be a devotee within the context of this world. And how Gadadhar served Ishwarapuri. Every day he would serve him in every possible way and listen to him as he spoke from his own book, Krishna Lilamrita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was the greatest of teachers, he would every day go to Ishwarapuri and offer his obeisances, bow down to him, and listen to him speak for some time. One day, Ishwara Chandrapuri told the Lord that you are such a great scholar. Please edit my book and help to find the faults and mistakes that I have made and correct them. Nimai, he said, there is no mistake in your book. Because you're a pure devotee of the Lord. Because love of Krishna is in your heart. Whatever you speak is an offering of love. And that is all Krishna wants. That is perfect. If on the material level there is some apparent mistake in your grammar or in your spelling or in any other way, only an ignorant fool would see it as a mistake. Because the perfection of anything is not in its appearance in this world. The perfection of anything is in how Krishna is pleased with our offering. Samsadhir Haritoshanam. Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered. And he's pleased by the purpose, by the attitude that we have. If we have the wrong attitude, even if we do something great, it's not pleasing to Krishna. And if we have the right attitude, even if we do it wrong. Of course, if we have the right attitude, we're trying our level best to do it right. You can't just be negligent and do something wrong and think, I have the right attitude. That's the wrong attitude. If you have the right attitude, you'll give your heart, your soul, your life, your everything to do it the best possible way I can according to how I know Krishna wants it done. For Krishna's pleasure. And if that is your attitude, Krishna's pleased. That is our success. That is our perfection. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's nothing to correct. It is perfect because it is an expression of your love. Ishwarapuri was so happy to hear him glorifying the essence of devotion. But still, he said, it's going to be read by others, not just Krishna. So it should be correct. So please correct the mistakes. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come each evening and listen to him reading. And one evening, Lord Chaitanya saw an apparent mistake on the grammatical level, not on the spiritual level. And he pointed it out. It should not be Atmanepada. It should be Parasamepada. Ishwarapuri, he said, thank you very much. Thank you. And Lord Chaitanya went home. All night, Ishwarapuri was meditating. And he did cross-references with scriptures and analyzed from every point of view. The next day, when Nimai came to his class, Ishwarapuri said, "I've seriously considered, but actually, Atmanepada is the right word. The word you said is not as good." Hare Krishna. Now, this may sound like something very simple, but who is he talking to? He's talking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaishta saravaraham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva jaham. Lord Chaitanya is the author of all the Vedas. He's the knower of all the Vedas. And by all the Vedas is he to be known? Defeated Keshav Kashmiri, the most powerful scholar in the entire world, was effortlessly defeated by him. The person who all of Navadvipa was heralding as the greatest pundit in the planet. He was so skilled that he would challenge the topmost scholars. "I want you to defeat this argument." And then he would present an argument. They'd say, "Nobody can defeat that argument because it's a perfect argument. There's no flaws in it." Then he would logically, philosophically, grammatically, and in every other way defeat his own argument. And then he'd say to them, "Now, if it's a perfect argument, the first one, reestablish what I originally said by defeating my rebuttal to my own argument." Does that make sense? And they said, "Your rebuttal is absolutely perfect. Nobody could defeat it. Nobody could establish your original precedent." And then Lord Chaitanya would defeat his rebuttal and reestablish the original argument. And people would just think, "He's not human. No human being can have such an intellect. It's not possible. Who is this boy? He was only a teenager. He's the Supreme Lord." And here Ishwarapuri is saying, "You're wrong. What you said is incorrect." And the Supreme Lord was very happy. "I have been defeated by my devotee." He accepted defeat with great pleasure, to show that the Lord had, in the role of a devotee, he had no ego. He lost. And he didn't try to defend himself. He didn't even try to make an excuse. Sometimes, if we're actually exposed to be wrong, especially if we're really supposed to be right, because of our skills and our fame and everything else, we make some excuse. "Well, actually, you know, I said that, but I really meant that. Or maybe yesterday I was just too tired or something." Some excuse you have to make. "Yes, of course, I'm wrong, I'm defeated, but, you know, this is why. It's not really all wrong, it's just wrong because of this." The Lord made no excuse. He just accepted, "Yes, I was wrong. I'm defeated." Nobody had ever seen this before. He was silent. He loved to be defeated by his devotee. And every day he would come and hear from Ishwarapuri. Sometime later, when he went to Gaya, the holy place, to perform Shraddha for his departed father, when he saw the lotus footprints of Lord Vishnu in the temple and heard them being glorified by the Brahmins, for the first time, he revealed to the world the ecstasies of his love of God, his Mahabhava. Tears poured from his eyes like rivers, His body trembled, his hair stood on end. And Ishwarapuri happened to be there at that moment. Lord Chaitanya fell at Ishwarapuri's lotus feet and said, I have come all the way to this holy place, and the fulfillment of my being here, the fulfillment of my pilgrimage, is I am seeing you. Because wherever the feet of a great devotee of Krishna is, all the holy places of pilgrimage are present there. Why is that? Because a devotee in that service attitude is always remembering Krishna in his or her heart. And wherever Krishna is, all the holy places are also there. So wherever a great lover of Krishna's lotus feet are, all the places of pilgrimage are present there, because Krishna is in the heart. Not only in the heart, but manifesting from the heart of that devotee. Through his or her words, through his or her actions, through his or her thoughts, Krishna is manifesting. Lord Chaitanya said about Ishwarapuri that by performing the Shraddha that I have just concluded, one can deliver the particular forefathers that they're doing the Shraddha for. But just by seeing you and serving you, one can deliver all one's forefathers. Since time immemorial, that is the power of the mercy coming through a devotee. One day Lord Chaitanya was cooking just for himself. He was in Gaya and he was just cooking prasad for himself. Just enough for one person. And just when he finished, Ishwarapuri came to the door. And he smelled that the prasad had just been offered. And Ishwarapuri and Lord Chaitanya was in the kitchen working nicely. And Ishwarapuri said, oh, it looks like I have come just at the right time. And Lord Chaitanya said, please come and sit and have prasad. And Ishwarapuri said, but you cook this for yourself. There's only enough. We'll divide it in half. We'll sit together and eat. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. We will not sit together and eat. I will serve you. You eat everything. I'll cook again. You eat everything. He insisted. So he put another pot of rice on to cook again. And then he went out and with so much devotion, with his own hands, he served Ishwarapuri. With no other desire but to please him. It wasn't just a ritual. Rituals only have spiritual benefit on the path of bhakti when they are done for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. These smarta Brahmins, they are very attached to performing their rituals, and sometimes they don't even know what they're doing it for. Or sometimes they're doing it for money. Or sometimes they're doing it for prestige. And the people that they're doing it for usually don't know what's happening. That is karmakanda. You can get some pious benefits by doing that, or by having someone do that for you. But unless the ritual is being offered in a spirit of devotion to please the Lord, it cannot touch the path of bhakti, which is the only way, really, to approach Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was serving with so much love for his devotee, but most of all, to teach the world. And Lakshmi was so happy, she secretly, invisibly went into the kitchen and cooked the rice for Lord Chaitanya. because he was so absorbed in serving his servant that he forgot about cooking for himself. So Lakshmi came to do it for him. And after Ishwara Puri finished his prasad, the Lord made a nice place for him to lay down. Then the Lord massaged his feet, massaged his body. Simple services. Just to show the world. However great you are, even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which you're not, you're always the servant of the servant of the servant. And then after serving his guru, after hearing from him and serving him in such menial ways, then Lord Chaitanya asked him to be initiated. Ishwara Puri, he said, "You're asking me for a mantra? I'll give you my very life." But he gave him the mantra because it was the Lord's wish, a 10-syllable mantra. And it was only after receiving that mantra that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really exhibited to the world his God-intoxicated state. To show the spirit of the servant even more elaborately, Lord Chaitanya went on a pilgrimage to Kumarahatta, the birthplace of Ishwara Puri. And there, he ate the dirt. He placed it on his head and he ate the dirt. He bowed down to the dirt. He considered it so sacred. This is the dirt that was under the feet of this great soul. Then he took a whole handful of the dirt and put it in his cloth and tied it up to carry with him. And the Supreme Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Lord of all creation, the supreme enjoyer of all the Vaikuntha planets, Vrindavanath, the Lord of Vrindavan, he said about that handful of dirt in his cloth, he said, "The dirt from the birthplace of Ishwara Puri, it is my life. It is my soul. It is the most cherished possession that I have." That was his spirit of humbling himself to the dirt under the feet of a devotee, his guru. And when Lord Chaitanya met Prakashananda Saraswati in Varanasi, this is many years later after he had already taken sannyas, probably about 8 years later or 10 years later, then Lord Chaitanya again in the spirit of servitude, here he is, the Lord of the universes. He was invited by sannyasis to come to a gathering. And they were all Mayavadi sannyasis, who Vaishnavas usually don't want to associate with because they propound that you are God, you are the Supreme. They have no appreciation for the reality that we are eternal servants of the Lord. They will say, yes, you serve the Lord. You serve the Lord just to get purified. But when you're purified, no more service. You are the Lord. To a devotee, that philosophy breaks their hearts. That is why devotees generally cannot hear from Mayavadis. It's just heartbreaking to hear that conclusion. So Lord Chaitanya, but he was invited. And one humble devotee, a Maharashtrian Brahmin, right from this area, he said, "My Lord, please come. Please come. They're at my house. Please come." And he was so humble and he was a good devotee. And Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar begged the Lord, "Please do something. It's very difficult for us to live in this place." So the Lord went. And they were all on a high platform, and they invited him to come up to the high platform. But he went to the place where everyone washed their feet on the floor near the door and sat there. And Prakashananda saw the light emanating from Lord Chaitanya's body. It was the Brahmani effulgence, the goal of their life. They were very much attracted. And he saw the humility of the Lord. He's a sannyasi. Why is he sitting on the floor where we wash our feet? No sannyasi will ever sit there. Om Namo Narayana. When you take sannyas in their sampradaya, you become God when you take sannyas. So why is he sitting on the floor? God should be up here. He said, "Are you depressed about something, Swamiji? Why are you sitting in that dirty place? Come up here and sit with others, with your fellow sannyasis." And the Lord said, no, I do not deserve to sit next to you. You are very great men. I am a very small man. I have no qualification to sit on the same level as all of you." His humility melted their hearts. And his beauty attracted their minds. Prakashananda Saraswati came down from the raised platform, took the Lord by his hand and brought him up. Something he's never done before. For anybody. And then he challenged the Lord. "Why are you chanting and dancing with all these sentimental common people? Why don't you come with us stalwart scholars and study Vedanta? You're a sannyasi. Be with us. It's below your integrity to be just like a common sentimentalist with all these normal people just dancing in the streets, singing and crying." Lord Chaitanya could have quoted so many shastras to totally pulverize his illusions. But what did he do? What did he say? He said, "My Guru Maharaj, he told me, 'You, my dear child, are a fool. Don't bother trying to study Vedanta. You're too much of a fool to comprehend it. Just chant this Hare Krishna mantra and you will achieve everything.'" And then my Guru Maharaj taught me a verse. "Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata." That in this age of Kali, there's no other way except the chanting of Lord Hari's name. So Lord Chaitanya presented himself, "I'm a fool. Even my Guru understood I'm a fool. Therefore I'm chanting Hare Krishna." He didn't try to defend himself. He just tried to show what is his position to these great, great sannyasis who think they're God and who are propounding that you are God. He is saying, "I'm a fool, and because I'm such a fool, all I want to do is serve my guru. My guru knew I'm a fool, so he gave me this instruction, don't study Vedanta, just chant Hare Krishna, so that's what I'm doing." He revealed to the world, that is the path of perfection. Just think you're a fool and be a servant. Hare Krishna. That's all. Prabhupada said, you should think you're a fool, but you shouldn't be a fool. There's a difference. And then Prakashana, then they had a discussion, and Lord Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu, on the basis of the scriptures, after establishing he's just a servant of the servant of the servant, he completely convinced Prakasharanda Saraswati that his whole philosophy was an illusion. Essentially, Lord Chaitanya said, you are saying that everything of except Brahman is illusion. Well, the first thing and the biggest illusion is your philosophy. And he established that God is ultimately a person. And only through love and devotion, through service, one can approach the Lord. Mad bhakta puja vyadika, we cannot approach the Lord directly. It is not through serving the Lord that we can achieve his favor. It is by serving the servants of the servants of the servants. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if people would, when he was very busy and he didn't have so much time, he didn't want to waste time talking to just any person. Sometimes he wanted to talk to sincere people, personal. He would ask, are you a servant of Krishna? If they would say, yes, I am a servant of Krishna, he'd very politely say, well, I'm very happy, here's some prasad, but I don't have much time today. I'm very busy. But if someone came in, are you a servant of Krishna? He said, no, I am the servant of Krishna's servants. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would say, come, enlighten me, I have all day to talk to you. That is the beginning of our devotional service. The foundation of our devotional service, which always must stay strong. Because the more you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, the more you need that service attitude to hold the weight of everything else you're doing. Yes? Just like these buildings. I never studied architecture or anything, but common sense. The higher the building goes, the more you need the foundation. So do not be in an illusion. I'm a new devotee now, let me just be a humble servant of the servant of the servant. But as I get seniority, as I raise in the hierarchy of the institution, as I learn more, as more people are junior to me, and as more people respect me and honor me, and as I have more skills in so many ways, then the servant of the servant stuff goes in the background. If that happens, the building will fall. Understand, the higher you go up, the higher and higher and higher and higher you go up, the more you need that foundation to hold you, because the weight is getting greater. And what is that foundation? Lord Chaitanya established it. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anu Das. This is the extreme. Not just Das Das Das. Not just the servant of the servant of the servant, but the Anudas. What is the technical meaning of Anu? Krishnananda Prabhu is translating it as atomic. Like an atom bomb? Like an atomic particle. That's Anu means the smallest possible particle there is in creation. Yes? Lord Chaitanya said, this is the type of servant I want to be. I want to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant in a spirit of being the most tiny atomic particle. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishameva vambudho stita duli sadrisam vichintaya. Lord Chaitanya is praying, I just want to be a particle of dust. Hare Krishna. Now, for most people to think, this person, what's your goal of life? To be an atomic particle? Where's the incentive to be successful in this world? People want to be the president, the prime minister, they want to be champions, they want to be great. And Lord Chaitanya wants to be an atomic particle? Servant of the servant of the servant? Because that consciousness is great in the eyes of God. That is the foundation of our spiritual life. That is what makes a person great. And if we can do great, 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 great things in this world, but maintain that same humble consciousness, that is extraordinary. That was the quality of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They were the prime minister and home minister of an entire kingdom. They had billions of dollars of wealth. They were handsome, beautiful, everything they had. And they were the greatest scholars. They had wealth. They had beauty. They had knowledge. They had strength. They had everything. But what made them so wonderful is they had it all, but they were more humble than a blade of grass. In this spirit, by Krishna's mercy, we can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? Yes, Krishnananda Prabhu. Are you going to ask for your cell phone back?
We gave the 10-syllable mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we mentioned in the lecture. But of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the 16-syllable, the Hare Krishna mantra. What is this 10-syllable mantra that is mentioned?
It's a secret mantra.
How is that Lord Chaitanya is giving the Hare Krishna mantra if Ishwarpuri is giving the 10-syllable mantra?
We are also given Gayatri mantra. But the main mantra is Hare Krishna mantra. So obviously, the Maha mantra is the presiding prominent mantra in this age of Kali. But he was also given a special initiation mantra. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you are mentioning about this basic foundation. We hear that Srila Prabhupada said 99% of our spiritual life is dependent on chanting. So regarding chanting, we hear two kinds of opinions, not exact opinion, but two kinds of things people say. One is that for chanting, most important is, like Prabhupada says, you have to cry out like a child cries out for mother, and the consciousness is most important. And we also hear many devotees quote Prabhupada, who said, don't have to worry about remembering the Lord. Just focus on hearing. That is most important. Hearing and pronunciation is most important. So my question is, are these both same? That if we focus on hearing and pronunciation, is that as good as remembering the Lord? Or should we also make a separate endeavor?
Not as good. It is remembering the Lord. It absolutely is. If your mind is focused on the hearing the sound, you are remembering the Lord. Because the name is not different than the Lord. At the time of chanting, that is the best way to remember the Lord, is just to absorb yourself in hearing the sound of His name. And as far as the importance of servitude, yes, 99% of our spiritual advancement comes through chanting Hare Krishna. But that means how we chant Hare Krishna. If we're chanting with offenses, then it's not going to have much effect. That means 99% of our spiritual advancement, we're not making it very well because we're not chanting properly. The proper mood to chant is Trinadapi Sunichena, to feel oneself humble like a blade of grass, be tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. This is the way Lord Chaitanya taught us to chant, which means essentially to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. If we have this service attitude, then Krishna is pleased with our chanting. And then we make tremendous spiritual progress by chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya taught us by His example. He told Prakashananda Saraswati, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam, that my guru taught me that the only way in this age of Kali, the only way is to chant Hare Krishna, is to chant the Lord's names. But through His example, He taught how to chant the Lord's names. He didn't come into that assembly like some sort of a great god. He sat in the dirtiest place. He humbled himself beyond anybody's comprehension of how any sannyasi can be humble. First, he totally showed his humility and his service attitude. Then he explained, there's no other way except chanting. He showed by his example his menial service to his guru, his menial service to the Vaishnavas, his menial service toward all living beings. This was the spirit in which he was chanting. So yes, our spiritual life is very dependent on our chanting of the holy names. But what attitude to chant the holy names is all important. Srila Prabhupada gave us all these books. He didn't have to stay up almost all night, every night, translating and writing purports. Because his devotees were already chanting Hare Krishna. And he said that these books are not just to give to outsiders. These are also for my devotees to read, and they're already chanting Hare Krishna. Why? To teach us the proper understanding of how to chant Hare Krishna, the proper philosophical convictions and the proper characteristics and attitudes by which we can please Krishna in our chanting Hare Krishna. Just having a servant at service attitude is not enough. The chanting of the holy names is the actual connection we're making to the Lord. But the service attitude is what makes our chanting attractive to the Lord, to give us that connection. So these are factually the most important principles. Prabhupada writes it here. The basic sum and substance, he says, the sum and substance of the path of devotion is given here. And what is given? To always remember Krishna. What's the best way to remember Krishna? To be absorbed in hearing His name and chanting His name. And to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So Prabhupada says, these two things right here in this purport are the sum and substance of bhakti. To be the servant of the servant of the servant, and to remember Krishna by chanting His holy names. Thank you. Thank you very much.